Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
You're welcome back. A warning that some listeners and younger ears might find the contents of the next report distressing. A couple who survived the Oma bomb have been giving evidence, emotional testimony about the events of that day. Donna Marie McGillion said she was given the last rites four times in hospital, while her husband Gary McGillion described his efforts to rescue his baby niece from the carnage. They were speaking at the inquiry into the atrocity, which was set up by the British government to examine whether the bombing could have been prevented. Our reporter Una Kelly was at the inquiry and she's with me now. Una, Donna Marie McGillion is among the most severely injured from that day, isn't that correct?
Yes, Donna Marie was 22 at the time and due to marry Gary a week later. Donna Marie, Gary, Gary's sister and Gary's niece Breda had gone into town that day to get Breda shoes for the wedding where she was due to be the flower girl. Donna Marie said she remembers very little of the bomb except the sounds of sirens and screaming. When she arrived at hospital in Belfast, doctors gave her a 20% chance of survival. She was then placed into an induced coma for 6.5 weeks. She said she received the last rites four times while she was in hospital. When she was eventually brought around, she was on a ventilator in ICU and unable to speak. She told the inquiry that she learned about the bomb from a news bulletin on the radio while she was there in ICU. She had 65% third degree burns to her face, upper body, front and back, her arms, her hands and her lower leg. She's been through countless surgeries over the years and is still in pain to this day. She said she had to wear a plastic mask on her face for 3 years afterwards. She said the trauma from the ICU and the burns unit still haunts her, and at times she feels like she's still on the ventilator. Now, Donna Marie and Gary did go on to marry in March 1999, and she said the priest who had given her the last rites in hospital was a concelebrant at their wedding. Donna Marie also said that crowds of people from Oma turned out to applaud them on their wedding day, which she said showed the community would not be broken. But she said they were very conscious that one person, Breda, was not there. Gary was also injured that day and described his efforts to save his family. His last memory, he said, before the bomb was Donna Marie pushing Breda in the buggy. He wouldn't go into details about what he saw that day, but he said it was horrendous, that it's engraved in his brain and that it's haunted him every day for the last 26 years. Now, Gary, despite being severely injured himself, managed to pull a shop sign off Donna Marie and Breda, who was in the pushchair. He said he shouted at Breda's mother, Tracy, that he had her, and he raced with her in his arms to the top of the town where he thought there would be help. And this clip you'll hear now are Gary's own words from his written statement to the inquiry. Gary himself found it too difficult to voice that part, so his words were read by counsel to the inquiry, Paul Greeny.
You say that with Breda in your arms, you run towards the top of town. I met a policeman who took Breda off me and passed her to a traffic warden who took her to hospital. This was one of the hardest things I have ever had to do in my life. Breda was still breathing. I felt her heartbeat, but I knew that she needed urgent help. I've learned over the past 26 years that you have to make difficult choices that you will either like or want, that you will neither like or want. This is one of the most harrowing memories I have. And then you add, Gary, but also one of the most precious memories. As to this day, I can still feel Breda's heartbeat on my chest.
Yeah, Walder, it was the faintest little heartbeat. I knew you had to get her out. And to this day, I still feel that heartbeat.
That was Gary McGillion there. 20-month-old Breda Devine did not survive. Gary said when he heard Breda had passed away, it was something that ripped his heart out. He said that part of his heart is still missing today.
The inquiry heard more testimony, Una, from survivors today. Who else?
Yes, Caroline McKinney owned a beauty salon in the town, and her colleague Deborah Ann Cartwright, who was murdered that day, was with her, and Caroline's 13-month-old daughter, Niamh. Niamh was in a buggy. And when they were evacuated, when the bomb warning had come in, Caroline said it almost felt like a social occasion because people were so used to bomb scares, so they thought little of it. And it was a beautiful sunny day and people were out on the street chatting. She said then there was a flash and a bang and the bomb threw her to the ground and a shop shutter had pinned her onto the ground, and here she describes what she could see around her.
Debbie was beside me and the bomb had blown Niamh out into the middle of the street.
Still in the buggy?
She was still in the buggy and she was facing Slevin's chemist, Campsie, and there was blood pouring down her face, which was good enough for me at that time. That was fine. She was alive. She was there.
You could hear her crying, I think.
She was crying.
So you knew she was alive?
Yes, she was there. She was crying. So, someone at that point had came up from the Carton Bakery, one of the girls from the Carton Bakery, and had literally lifted her out of the buggy and taken her away.
Taken her away to hospital?
Yeah, well, taken her away. So
you didn't know where?
I didn't know where. So, but I knew she was alive. She was crying. She was breathing. That was fine. That was good enough for me.
Niamh is the youngest survivor of the Oma bomb. Her family initially didn't know where she was, but eventually located her in hospital when a neighbour spotted her by her pierced ears. Niamh was then eventually transferred to Belfast for surgeries. Niamh still has shrapnel in her brain to this day. Caroline and other survivors today said they're so conscious of those who didn't survive. Caroline said she thinks of Deborah Ann often and is still in contact with some of her friends.
Who else, Una, did the inquiry hear from today?
Jamie McGlynn and his girlfriend, they were injured. He was 19 that day. He recalled being blown out of his shoes and then talked about the sirens, the glass, the smells and the burning. He had a fractured skull, broken arm, shrapnel wounds and glass in his head. He recalled that after being sent to Dungannon Hospital, the medical staff were so overwhelmed, he was told it would be a couple of days before his injuries could be tended to. He said that he and his girlfriend made a conscious decision that the bomb would not define their lives. But he did say that the drip feed of new revelations and information about the bombing in the years since has been frustrating. Caroline Taggart said she and her friends had actually been leaning on the car with the bomb in it and had just moved away to a shop. Caroline recalled seeing and speaking to her neighbour, Avril Monaghan. The bomb went off, Caroline says, around 5 seconds later. Avril, her unborn twins, Avril's mother and Avril's infant daughter were killed. Caroline says she suffers from complex PTSD. She went to America, she says, to get away from Oma, and she trained as an ambulance medic to try to make sense of her PTSD, but she said it didn't work. And then Catherine Galt, in her statement, said she was talking about things she never even told her family. She was working in her coffee shop when the bomb exploded. She had glass lodged all over her body. She described seeing the water running down Market Street stained with red blood. She said she was unable to speak for several days afterwards.
Una Kelly at the public inquiry into the Oma bombing. Thank you very much indeed.